What happens when a Catholic deacon matches wits with a Catholic radio show host? You get a marriage made in heaven. They may not always agree, but they're always faithful. It's the Aikens with their View from the Pew on Modern Day Radio.
And welcome to this episode of View from the Pew. I'm your host, Brenda Aiken, and joining me today is the man who's a cool kid with new technology, the good deacon, Scott Aiken.
Yeah, I guess I needed to update my technology because it was so old, it couldn't even download the programs to run anymore. I just have an exciting new life ahead of me that needs a little better technology, and I went to pull out my old technology, and it was like my mind at points, old. So
you are a cool kid with new technology made for an old person. It is the biggest screen on an iPad I've ever seen, and that is to accommodate those eyes of yours. It was fun to do a little bit of shopping on Mother's Day. We went out, had a wonderful meal. We went to the store. You got me a wonderful gift. Speaking of technology, now I have a new watch that I don't even know the first thing on how to work it, and fortunately, it was easy to set up, but I've got to watch a video on how to use this watch. It does a lot of things, like reminds me to get up and stand. I don't need that kind of technology, though, in my life.
No, I could do that, but I'm not dependable technology, I guess. No, I got a new iPad because I have a new job. As listeners may know, I retired from the federal government, but I'm still young at heart, and so I applied for a new job, and I'm going to be working at Seton Catholic High School as a theology teacher. And so I need to have technology to do that. And boy, it was exciting. I was able to get an educational discount on it. So that was a blessing to buy that iPad with, because I certainly could benefit from that.
Oh, those kids, I would say they should be excited, but I have a feeling, boy, they are going to get a real education. You've got a lot to share, and I was excited for you. You were looking forward to this total shift from what you have been doing your entire career. I actually take that back. There was a time when you were in college many, many years ago, and you worked part-time to earn extra money as a tutor at the local high school. So you're not unfamiliar with teaching.
No, and I think what we're going to talk about today in our topic really touches on being able to have the flexibility to transition from what we expected to something that is even greater if we follow the Lord's prompting. So that's what I did on this through a novena to St. Joseph at the beginning of Lent, St. Joseph the Worker, and boom, here I am working at a high school and having had a federal career that I'm grateful to let go of and enter fully into my ministry in this new capacity.
Well, speaking of transition, it was a Mother's Day, and it was a great day to celebrate all of the blessings that our mothers provided for us. I was able to talk to my mom, but it was a little bit different for us, and especially for me, because of the state of life that we're in. All of our children were away. And so you took on that role to celebrate me, took me out to a beautiful meal, and then again took me out shopping. Life is long. It's long, and things look differently from year to year, and we have to be ready to adjust to those things. I did not feel like less of a mother because the kids could not be near me. Each and every one of them, all four of them, called me that day, and they celebrated me and got me flowers well ahead of time. And so I feel loved, albeit recognizing that, yeah, there are these shifts in life.
And as a reminder that we are grandparents, so it does take those new folds of responsibility and also letting go. And I think the older we get, we are faced with having to be more intentional in letting go of those things that defined us in the past that no longer define us. And it gives us, I think, some strength to recognize ultimately it's God that defines us, not the life we've lived, not the people who tell us what they think we are. We come to find who are we to God? And I think that's the beautiful thing I'm seeing in you with the radio show, and now with me and the work that I'll be doing. Praise be God.
Praise be God. Like I said, life is long and we are not stuck on the same path throughout all of it. If we open ourselves up to God's calling, boy, he has an amazing adventure and you're about to embark on a new one. And that brings us to today's show. We have got a great guest ahead. Her name is Stacy Sumereau and her book is Adventure Awaits. Talk about a person who thought she had achieved it all. She was on Broadway fulfilling a lifelong dream, but she had a yearning in her heart and she did a complete turnaround from what she thought she wanted when she started listening to what God wanted for her. So she's coming up in the next segment.
And when we come back, we'll share how that resonates so deeply with us, as we've shared a little bit in the opening here. But we want to dive into that a little deeper with you.
So stay with us. We got a great episode for you on this week's View from the Pew.
Now I've been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come. And I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, I've been smiling lately, dreaming about...
Please join me, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, and other listeners of Modern Day E-Radio as we pray an act of hope. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh my God, relying on your infinite mercy and promises, I hope to obtain pardon of my sins, the help of your grace, and everlasting life through the merits of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Redeemer. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
For more prayer resources and to let us know how we can pray for your intentions, please visit us at materdeiradio.com and click prayer. Or call our prayer hotline at 503-285-3737. That's 503-285-3737.
I had a moment of overwhelming peace the other day where I felt God's presence very powerfully. That's something called spiritual consolation. In those moments, God makes it easy for us to have the right perspective on life. The next day was rough. I was hit with some really hard news that turned me upside down. You know what I did? I remembered that moment of peace from the day before, and I chose to dwell in that peace. God doesn't just give us moments of spiritual consolation so we can remember them and long for them. He gives us those moments so we can recall them into the present. In a marriage, that time you fell in love, that's not something for the past. They're sweet memories that we recall throughout marriage that feed the whole marriage. So it is with God. In the hard times, recall the way he's shown you his love in the blessed times. Don't just go to your happy place, go to your God space, and you'll find the right perspective again. This is Chris Stefanik from reallifecatholic.com.
One of the many ways you can help Modern Day Radio is by supporting our Leadership Circle members. These are businesses and organizations whose names you hear on the air every day. They believe in our mission of providing the region with positive Catholic radio programs. Our Leadership Circle members keep our broadcast strong through their financial generosity. How can you find out more about our Leadership Circle members? Go to our website at materdeiradio.com and click on the Get Involved menu. You'll be learning about a great group of people.
It's Deacon Scott and Brenda Aiken with their View from the Pew on Mater Dei Radio.
As a lover of a Broadway theater, I would imagine that any of those people playing these fantastic characters would think they have hit the top of the heap. But for today's guest, Stacy Sumereau, well, God had another plan for her and she had to make a big change. In her new book, Adventure Awaits, How to Interpret Your Desires and Hear God's Voice, Stacy lays out a story of conversion, and it's a guide to spiritual awakening for all of us. Stacy is joining me today to share more about it. Good morning, Stacy. Thanks so much for joining us on the Morning Blend.
Hey, Brenda, thank you so much for having me. It's a joy to be here with you.
Stacy, as you and I were preparing for today's interview, I just shared with you my intense love of Broadway musicals. Mm-hmm. Did you grow up with watching these wonderful stories played out on stage and knew that that's where you wanted to be?
Yes, I guess I caught the theater bug when I was about seven. Was I seven? Maybe six. I went to see a production of Little Women. Honestly, looking back, I'm pretty sure it wasn't that great, but I thought it was the best thing I had ever seen.
Sure.
And I just absolutely fell in love with theater. And that was kind of the high point of my life. I have many different things that I love to do. I'm a multi-passionate person, as I'm sure many of your listeners are. There are many things that bring me joy, but the thing that really, to me, was like living. You know, this is the top of life right here, was being involved in theater. And I really loved the community aspect of it, the fact that you get to come together with other people and rehearse and practice and come up with something that is bigger than any one person. And, you know, that really was kind of an early desire. I didn't recognize it at the time, but that excitement that I felt of being part of this community, that really was a desire to serve God's kingdom. And I thought that it was a desire to appear on stage and be under the lights and, you know, have the publicity and all of the glitz and glamour that goes along with, you know, the life of a person on Broadway. And so, you know, it's interesting how you could say, in a way, my desires have never changed, but they're more deeply fulfilled now, actually, after I've left theater, than they were when I was in theater. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I firmly believe that life is a journey, and there are many paths that we can take, and we need to follow God along with it. And part of your journey was this time on Broadway, and you traveled, which included traveling with the cast of Beauty and the Beast that came right through here in Portland, Oregon. But for you, what was that turning point when you realized that while you thought your dreams had come true by living on the stage, you know, of these Broadway shows, that you realized God had something much more meaningful for you?
Well, it started off with a little thing I like to call the worm of discontent. That's a term that I made up. You won't read it anywhere else. But the worm of discontent is this little gnawing voice that pops up when you're alone, when you're not thinking of anything else, when you're trying to fall asleep at night. And the little worm of discontent kind of says, you know, this isn't really it. This isn't really what you thought it would be. You're not really becoming the person that you always imagined you would be. And when I was on the Beauty and the Beast national tour, I started to feel that worm of discontent, and it ate away at me for months. And I was very confused because, you know, going to theater school, you're really conditioned to believe that success in theater is your whole life. And that's really what I had given my life to for 10 years. You know, I would have told you that God sat on the throne of my heart, but the way that I was living and the fruits of my life really was that theater was my God, really. Even though I never stopped going to mass, I still gave my first energy, my best energy to my theater career. And so when I felt that worm of discontent, what that was there was a deeper level of desire that was awakening in me that I couldn't ignore. It was really the voice of truth speaking through this kind of intuitive sort of, you know, voice mixed with conscience, really is how I would best describe the worm of discontent. And that just wouldn't be silenced. You know, no matter what I did, how hard I tried to convince myself that this is what I was meant to do, this is what I was called to do, there just kept being this voice that said, no, you're meant to do something else, something more. But I didn't know what that was. And in fact, Brenda, it took me many months to figure that out. And I had to go through a lot of disappointment of feeling like I'd wasted this time. I know for anyone who's listening, if you're in your 20s, even beyond, oh my goodness, it's possible any time of life, but I'd say it's particularly true that perhaps in your 20s, there's this fear of wasting time as though you'll never get these years back. And if you gave your life to God, if you change direction, it's like admitting that all of this time that you've spent doing this one thing was wasted. Mm-hmm. And that's how I felt. So it was a difficult turning point. I kind of grieved my desire for theater for months, but eventually I couldn't ignore it. But, you know, my desire for theater had just ebbed away while I was on tour. And then when I got back from tour, I started skipping my auditions, which I had gone to religiously every morning. And I would go to maybe two or three auditions every day in Manhattan. And I started skipping those and just going to Mass instead. And that was where I really felt peace. And so, you know, there were many more twists and turns after that. But there was something true, something good, and something beautiful in attending Mass and learning to just kind of slowly peel my vision away from what is it that I want to what is it that God wants for me. And there's one thing I want to share, if you don't mind, Brenda, really quick about that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, my fear in that time, and this is why it took so long for me to pivot away from theater and to trust God. My fear was that my desires and God's desires must be opposed. They must be the opposite. And whatever it was that I wanted, God was just waiting for me to pry open my little fist so that he could take away what I wanted. And in reality, what I really want to share with your listeners is that your deepest desires and God's desires for you are really one and the same thing. And when you discern any decision, when you either enter into a formal discernment process or just simply ask God, like, what is it that you want for my life? And you make God a part of that conversation. You're not losing anything by surrendering to him. You're not losing who you are or your desires or your dreams. You're actually moving more and more towards the person that you most want to be, as well as the person that God has created you to be. I mean, it makes perfect sense logically, right? Like, of course, God, if God truly does want the best for me, then he's going to give me the deepest desire of my heart. But there's an element of surrendering control there that terrified me. Mm. For months. It was so scary. And so, you know, I just want to encourage anyone listening, if you are feeling that pull, that struggle, and you don't want to trust the Lord with your future, just know that when you trust him and you just allow him to have your heart, he's going to give you more than what you could ever surrender. What he has for you is so much more than what you have to lose.
Stacy, along with being an author, you are the host of a podcast called Called and Caffeinated. Tell us about it.
Yeah, thank you. Called and Caffeinated started when I was a brand new mom after I had discerned my vocation and I had discerned out of religious life, and so had my husband before we met. And then we met, and in a very short time, we got married. And then in a very short time after that, we had my first son, and then we had a little girl. So by our second wedding anniversary, we had two little babies. And Called and Caffeinated arose out of this curiosity that I had around the whole topic of discerning your vocation. I was on this, okay, hopefully this story won't get too long for your listeners, but I was on a reality television show after I had left theater, and I was feeling called to discern my vocation. So I went to a convent. I went to actually visited five convents. And part of that discernment was on a reality TV show called The Sisterhood, Becoming Nuns on Lifetime in 2014. And what was interesting was that the show itself actually was kind of made for TV, but there was a lot of real, true discernment that was happening for me, especially behind the scenes when the cameras weren't there. And, you know, sharing my honest journey was such a joy and a privilege. And as it aired worldwide, I started getting this really unique view into what people were thinking and wondering about finding God's will. I started getting hundreds of messages from people around the world who were sharing the same vocational struggles that I was, as well as, you know, not just vocational struggles, but truly we discern every decision in our lives. So I started getting these messages, and Called and Caffeinated became my exploration as a student, not as an expert, but as a student, talking to people who were way smarter and knew way more than I did about this topic of discernment. And the podcast took off pretty quickly because I couldn't find somebody else who had a podcast like this to help guide me. And so I thought, you know what, I'm going to be the learner. I'm going to be curious. I'm going to dive into this. And it's been amazing. You know, I've done over 100 episodes. I produce content that's evergreen, and I kind of produce it slowly and thoughtfully. And so it's been 7 years of making Called and Caffeinated, and I really love, love, love hearing from my listeners about their questions and about how my guests or the insights that I've gained have really helped them grow closer to the Lord. And, you know, the beautiful thing is discernment, some people like to approach it, I certainly did, like to approach it as a set of rules, you know, you get the right answer, and then you get an A on the test, and then you get into heaven. But the truth is that discernment really is about, first and foremost, your relationship with the Lord. Pope Francis in 2022 said, you know, discernment requires a filial relationship. And that to me rings so true. You know, every good discernment comes from that approach of us to God as his children, approaching him as our father and saying, you know, I want to be close to you more than anything else. And then the answers flow from that.
Oh, no doubt. Life is a beautiful adventure. And boy, when God is your guide, it's amazing what you become. And it's just really beautiful how it's revealed in your new book. Stacy, what blessed time it has been with you this morning. Thank you so much for being with us.
I've had the highest.
I could have talked with Stacy for hours just about our love of Broadway musicals. The one time she came to the Pacific Northwest, she was part of the cast for Beauty and the Beast. And I tell you, it was so much fun. And for me, as a lover of stage productions, I would have thought that's got to be the greatest thing a person could achieve, to be able to be on one of these casts. It was incredible. But she had that yearning. And what is more importantly is not only did she have that yearning in her heart, she chose to seek out the greater thing and the thing that God was calling her to. Even going on a reality show to understand her vocation and whether or not God was calling her to the convent or not. Now, she went on to get married and have a family, but right when we think we have got it all figured out, God reminds us he's the one in control, and just follow him along this path because he knows more than we do the deepest desires of our heart and how to find him there.
Yeah, and as I shared at the beginning of the show, you know, my transition now from federal employee to Catholic school teacher for high school represents so much of what you just described there in my heart and mind. But, you know, I think when I'm going to be working with high school youth, I'm going to be facing what they are constantly battling, and that is the presence of music and stardom and money and power that society throws out through acting, through music, in such ways that people feel like, boy, if I could just do that, I would be satisfied. And so what they strive for are things of the world, because that's what's oftentimes shown to them so prominently in what we see and what we hear. But to give a person's testimony like what she provided, that moving from what you thought would be the pinnacle to actually know that, no, God has something in mind for me, and I need to make a decision. And what she was deciding on in that moment was what was going to bring her life. And I think there's a maturity to that. So I think we need to be merciful to ourselves when we face those kinds of decisions, but we have to be docile to that as well. And I think she just exemplifies that. So I want to be able to speak about individuals like her to the youth in inspiring them to don't lock yourself into something that society tells you who you are, but open yourself up to a opportunity for who God says you are. And I want to give a quote, because Saint Isidore is a saint that we celebrated here just a couple of months ago on his feast day. But he has a tremendous saying, and Bishop Barron loves to bring this saying forward oftentimes. The glory of God is a human being fully alive. And so if we think we know what will make us fully alive, how much we might limit ourselves from really understanding what is it that God created me to do and to be. And that's what will bring me the fullness of life. And she represents that in her decision, I think.
what's important too to recognize now too, this time of year, we are entering into that graduation season. Both kids from colleges are graduating now. High schools in the area will begin that graduation, and kids are ready to take on whatever that next thing is. And in some cases, they may not know that they have to make a decision about what to study in school or where to go to school, or I've graduated, I've got this degree now, I've got to use it in a certain way. And again, being docile to the movement of the Holy Spirit to help guide us, it can be difficult. And we've had four children, and all four of them have done this a little bit differently. And we have got to be docile to our own wants and desires as parents, because, boy, I could very easily micromanage each and every one of them and carve them out to be a certain way that I expect them to be, because, you know, as a mother, I would think I know them. I don't know them nearly as intimately as our Lord does. And I've got to be willing to sacrifice my wants and desires for them, so that way they can follow the voice of God into each and every one of their own pathways.
Yeah, and just hearing her talk about this journey that she's been on, she continues to grow on. You know, I look back on my own life thinking I had just the opposite, in the sense that I felt called to be ordained as a priest. And I was heading that direction, and signs were being given to me indicating that might be the case. But it was clear to me. It was clear to me once I was presented with the opportunity to be with you that this is what I desired. This is what my heart desired. And 36 years later, I have no regret. And I have a fullness of life that I could never have imagined with the family we have and with my ministry in the diaconate that you have given such great support to. So, you know, we're grateful that we don't know the full story of our life, that God does. And turning that over more and more in our daily walk to God, you know what this day is about. You know what my week coming ahead is about. Let me just trust you. Jesus, I trust in you. And I think she speaks to that in what she made a decision on, as you said, the pinnacle of Broadway musical. What a transition. And, you know, how we have these examples in our faith of people making dramatic shifts because they're answering the Lord's call. And that should be a powerful witness to us that we are open to such tremendous possibilities in our life. Each and every one of us, even those who may feel at this moment completely in despair, do not despair. The Lord is with us.
He most definitely is. And if you have a child that is graduating, oh, you know that the Lord is with them, and we pray for them in all their endeavors. Scott, before we go today, will you end us in prayer?
Lord, we thank you for the powerful witness of people who follow you with their whole heart, mind, and soul. Help us this week to turn our thoughts, hearts, and minds to you in all that we do, strengthened by your grace in our life. We thank you for that, Lord. And we pray all this in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And that's going to wrap it up for us today. Please tune in next week as we share with you more stories about our faith, our family, and our view from the pew.
God bless and continue to grow this Easter season.
You've been listening to View from the Pew, a weekly look at faith and family life from a Catholic perspective with Deacon Scott and Brenda Aiken. For more information on the Aikens and to listen to an archive of their previous shows, visit them online at MonterdayRadio.com/pew. View from the Pew is produced at the studios of Monterdayradio in Portland, Oregon.